Welcome to today's deep dive. Today, we are looking at a pretty massive stack of sources. We've got platform documentation, website extracts, and some presentation materials for an enterprise system called ScriRIXX.
Yeah, quite a bit to go through today.
Definitely. But before we go any further, I need to make a crucial pronunciation note for you listening. So it is spelled S-K-R-I-X-X, but it is actually pronounced scripts.
Right, yeah.
It rhymes with the word stricts. So scripts. Our mission today is to explore how organizations can map, you know, real workforce capability, moving beyond just basic training records to see what people can actually do on the floor.
Exactly. It's a huge shift in how we think about readiness.
It really is. So, I mean, have you ever sat through, let's say, a 3-hour training video, passed a multiple choice quiz, and then you walk into the workplace on day one feeling just completely unprepared to actually do the job?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone has.
Right. You get handed the certificate that says you're qualified, but the reality is you wouldn't trust yourself to operate the office coffee machine, let alone, you know, heavy machinery on a warehouse floor.
Yeah. And honestly, that is the defining flaw of traditional corporate learning.
Mm-hmm.
Because course completion alone, it simply does not prove that someone can perform a role safely or effectively in the real world.
No, it just proves they stayed awake during a video.
Exactly. I mean, traditional learning management systems, LMS platforms, they track completions.
Mm-hmm.
They track whether you click next on the video, whether your compliance history is legally up to date, or, you know, whether you're technically available on the roster.
Right.
But they completely fail to capture live operational capability.
Okay, so if you want to solve that, if an organization wants to move beyond simply ticking a box on a mandatory training course, we have to change the foundational unit of measurement, right?
Precisely. You have to change what you are tracking.
And looking at the Scricks documentation, it seems that core unit is the skill?
Yes. Skills are the fundamental building blocks of workforce capability in this entire architecture.
Okay.
So instead of looking at a, you know, a flat, boring list of courses an employee has taken, the platform organizes these capabilities into what it calls skill trees.
Skill trees.
Yeah. There are these highly structured hierarchical maps.
Like a visual map.
Basically, yes. Mm. They break everything down into overarching skill groups, then specific skill levels within those groups, and finally down to individual skill
node. A node. Okay, so I'm reading this and thinking it's the classic tech tree concept from strategy or role-playing video games.
Oh, exactly. That's a perfect analogy.
Right. Like, you really don't need to explain the concept of unlocking basic skills to access advanced ones to anyone who has played a video game in the last 20 years.
Right, yeah. You have to walk before you run.
Exactly. You learn basic fire magic before you can cast a giant fireball.
Exactly.
So in a warehouse, you master basic safety protocols and spatial awareness before the system even lets you, you know, touch the forklift controls.
That video game analogy is highly accurate for workforce planning, honestly, because it relies on the exact same logic of progression paths.
Progression paths.
Right. A flat list of courses just shows what you did in the past, but a skill tree maps out what you need to do next.
Oh, that makes sense.
The architecture delineates prerequisite skills. So those foundational nodes you absolutely must clear before moving forward. And it maps out all the skill dependencies.
Okay, so if I need skill B, I have to have skill A first.
Exactly. And it also clearly separates required skills for a core role from optional skills.
Optional skills like what?
Like things that might make an employee more versatile or useful to the team, but they aren't strictly legally necessary for basic compliance in that specific job.
Okay, but looking at these skill trees, they clearly can't be universal, right? Like, a forklift driver in a 20-year-old legacy warehouse needs completely different skills than one in a newly automated modern facility.
100%.
So how does the software actually handle that kind of localized complexity?
Through customized linking and versioning. The platform doesn't force this lazy one-size-fits-all model.
Good.
Yeah. Organizations can build role-linked skill trees, department-linked trees, or even site-linked trees.
Wait, site-linked? So the actual physical location matters?
Yes. A site-linked tree means the software officially recognizes that operating a machine at facility A requires a different set of safety nodes than operating the exact same machine at facility B.
Just because the physical layout of the building is different.
Exactly. Maybe the load and dock is at a weird angle, so you need a specific spatial awareness check.
Okay, but what happens when the operational reality changes? Let's say a government regulator updates a safety standard, or the company just installs a brand new piece of equipment on the line.
Right. Things change constantly.
Yeah. You can't just delete the old skill tree because you have, like, hundreds of employees whose past certifications are permanently tied to it.
And that brings us to a really cool feature version history and version pinning.
Version pinning.
Yeah. When a procedure changes, the software automatically updates the skill tree to a new version. However, it preserves the entire audit trail of the previous versions.
Oh, so you don't lose the history.
Exactly. Version pinning allows an organization to lock a historical record. It literally proves that an employee was fully compliant with the exact standards that existed at that specific time in the past.
That is massive for audits.
It is. And then the system automatically calculates the delta, the gap between the old version the employee mastered and the new version they actually need to learn now.
So they don't have to start from scratch.
Right. It assigns only the updated nodes rather than forcing them to retake the entire tree from the beginning.
Which saves everyone a massive amount of time. Okay, right. So if the individual learner has this perfectly tailored map, that solves the problem on a micro level.
Mm-hmm.
But let's zoom out to a facility manager, somebody who has 300 people on the floor.
Right, a totally different perspective.
Yeah, a collection of individual tech trees doesn't really tell a manager if they have the people to safely operate the loading dock tomorrow morning. How does a floor manager actually consolidate all this data?
That requires zooming out to what Skrix calls the skills matrix.
The skills matrix.
Yeah, the matrix takes all of those individual building blocks and snaps them together into this incredible bird's eye view.
Okay.
It allows a manager to see the required skills versus the actual verified skills across individuals, teams, roles, departments, and even entire sites.
Okay, wait, let me push back on this for a second.
Sure.
Isn't a job title enough? Like, if someone's HR title is literally senior technician, shouldn't we just assume they have the skills to do the technician job?
Well, we all know an HR job title is a historically poor proxy for true operational readiness.
I mean, yeah, titles can be pretty vague.
Highly vague. A title like senior technician doesn't tell operations if that specific person is cross-trained on the old legacy equipment or if they only know how to run the new automated machine.
Oh, that's true.
HR labels hide true capability. If you want to understand role coverage, team coverage, or shift coverage, you have to look at verified skills.
So how does Skrix bridge the gap between that generic HR label and the granular floor reality?
It breaks the reliance on the job title entirely. It uses something called role-to-skill mapping.
Role-to-skill.
Right. The system doesn't ask, is this person a senior technician? It asks, does this specific individual possess the verified skill nodes required to safely operate assembly line B?
So it's looking at the task, not the title.
Exactly. The software mathematically calculates actual role readiness. It cross-references the required skill profile of a shift against the individual's validated capability profile.
So it completely separates the job title you were hired for from the operational role you were actually performing on, you know, a random Tuesday afternoon.
Fundamentally, yes. Job title to role mapping is exactly how traditional systems fail, because they assume the title guarantees the capability.
Which it almost never does.
Right. Skrix uses role to skill mapping, and because of this, it can manage role assignments dynamically.
Meaning what?
Well, it allows for manual role assignments, obviously, but more importantly, it handles automatic role assignments based on skill thresholds.
Oh, so it promotes them automatically.
In the system, yes. If an employee unlocks the final required node in a specific operational tree, the system automatically elevates their readiness status for that role.
Mm.
It updates the matrix in real time without HR having to process some formal title change.
That is incredibly efficient. Okay, so when a manager is looking at that matrix, they're comparing the required skills to the actual skills.
Yes.
The discrepancies there, those become highly visible. We are talking about skill gaps.
Big skill gap.
But in a standard LMS, a skill gap just means HR sends you an annoying email reminding you to take a compliance course by the end of the quarter.
Right. It's an administrative nagging tool. But in a true capability mapping system, a skill gap is treated as a live, immediate operational risk.
Live risk.
Yeah. The matrix visually highlights skill readiness percentages. It flags missing skills, expired skills, or nodes where physical evidence is still required.
Wow.
And it actively intercepts the planning process. The system highlights how a missing skill actually blocks readiness or progression or role coverage, or even shift allocation before the schedule is even finalized.
Oh, so you aren't finding out you lack a certified forklift driver at 2 a.m. when a massive truck needs unloading.
Exactly.
The software flags the gap during the planning phase because the required skill node literally isn't green on the matrix.
Furthermore, it identifies the exact nature of the progression bottleneck.
So it tells you why they aren't ready?
Yes. When an employee is stuck at, say, 90% readiness, the system drills down into the why.
Okay, so what kind of bottlenecks are we talking about?
Could be a missing prerequisite. Maybe it's repeated failed knowledge check on one specific module. Or it could be an expired certificate, an incomplete standard operating procedure acknowledgement, or, and this is a big one, just waiting for a supervisor to sign off.
Okay, think about your own workplace right now as you listen to this. How often is an operational delay caused simply because someone is waiting on a physical signature for a certification, but nobody actually has visibility into that bottleneck?
Oh, it happens all the time.
It just sits on a desk somewhere under a pile of papers, and meanwhile, that person cannot legally or safely perform a critical task on the floor.
It happens constantly in environments that rely on paper trails or, you know, fragmented software.
Mm-hmm.
But because Scrict centralizes all those assessments, evidence, and sign-offs into one single action queue, those bottlenecks become just glaringly obvious.
You can't hide from them.
No. A supervisor logs into their dashboard and sees a bright red alert. You have 3 team members blocked from full role readiness because they are waiting on you to observe their practical assessment.
Wow. The software turns an identified risk into an immediate recommended action.
Now,
if the system tracks all this at such a granular node-by-node level, it must also see where these trees overlap, right?
Oh, definitely.
Like a skill node for hazardous material handling might exist in the tree for the maintenance department, but it also sits in the tree for the shipping department.
Yes, and this is the concept of transferable skills. It fundamentally changes how organizations handle internal mobility and operational resilience.
How so?
Well, Scrix identifies overlapping capability across totally disparate roles. Let's say a critical role requires 20 specific skills.
Okay.
An employee in a completely different department might already possess 15 of those exact skills just from their normal day-to-day work and their past training.
Oh, wow. So if the system can identify those overlaps, you're essentially bypassing the traditional slow hiring pipeline.
Completely.
You can instantly see the people internally who are nearly ready for another role.
Yeah. The matrix reveals this multi-role capability automatically. It highlights cross-training opportunities.
That's amazing.
A manager can look at the data and realize that with just 2 small development actions, say, taking 1 short safety module and doing a brief site orientation, an employee from shipping can be fully qualified to provide emergency cover for the maintenance team.
That is huge for covering sick leave. And let's look at how the documentation describes this thing called combined role coverage, because this mechanism is absolutely fascinating to me.
It's one of their best features.
How does the software handle a situation where no single person has all 20 required skills for a shift?
Combined role coverage acknowledges the reality of how operational teams actually function on the ground.
Right.
Sometimes, one person may not fully cover every single requirement of a complex work stream, but 2 or more people working together mathematically cover the full skill requirement.
So the software can actually calculate and display partial role coverage.
Exactly.
I love this. It's the classic heist movie scenario.
Oh, I like that.
Right. You don't need a safecracker who is also a precision getaway driver.
No, you don't.
You just need both of those distinct skills present in the crew at the exact same time. The combined capability covers the operational risk of the heist.
When we apply that to an industrial setting, the math is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
If a specific shift requires both a hazardous materials handling certificate and an advanced first aid qualification, you might not have one single employee on the roster who holds both of those.
Which normally would block the shift.
Exactly. But if the software sees that employee A have the hazmat node validated, and employee B has the first aid node validated, it calculates their combined overlapping capability.
That is brilliant.
Right. It then greenlights the shift, giving managers the mathematical confidence that the operational need is safely covered by the team as a unit.
Okay, but this brings up the most critical question of all.
Okay.
We know the skills, we see the matrix, we've mapped out the overlapping heist crew coverage, but how does the software actually know the safecracker can crack the safe?
Ah, the validation part.
Yes. How do we prove these skills actually exist in the physical world? If we go all the way back to the beginning of our deep dive, we established that simply watching a video isn't enough.
And this is where we define true competency.
True competency.
Yes. In Scrix, competency is calculated as something far, far more rigorous than course completion.
Got it.
It is built from a carefully weighted combination of elements that prove capability basically beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, so what are the specific mechanisms here? Like, how do you calculate a competency score that a strict external auditor will actually trust?
Well, it starts with the basics, obviously past knowledge checks, like your standard quizzes.
Sure.
But the system heavily weights practical application. It integrates formal practical assessments where a supervisor must actually digitally sign off after physically observing the work.
Okay, that's better.
It also uses scenario modules that test judgment and decision-making under pressure.
Which is vital, because you need to know what someone will do when the machinery jams and catches fire, not just what they do when it is running perfectly.
That's exactly.
A multiple-choice quiz cannot test spatial awareness or physical reaction times.
No, it can't. And then you add logbooks.
Logbooks.
Yeah. Competency often requires real experience, not just theoretical knowledge. The logbook module tracks repeated tasks or actual machine hours over time.
Oh, like a pilot logging flight hours.
Exactly like that. The software literally will not unlock the next skill node until the employee successfully logs, for instance, 50 verified hours on the machine.
That is incredibly rigorous.
Yeah, and it doesn't stop there. Yeah. The system also utilizes peer reviews, uploaded evidence like snapping a photo of a completed complex weld or scanning a physical state-issued license, and strict SOP version checks.
SOP version check.
Yeah, standard operating procedures.
Yeah.
The system checks to ensure the employee actively acknowledged the current procedure, not an outdated one from 3 years ago.
I was reading about this mastery module. It seems to be the engine that processes all of these different inputs. How does it calculate readiness? Does it just, like, average the quiz scores out?
No, the mastery module acts as a very high confidence gate, and it definitely does not simply average out the scores.
Oh, okay.
It applies a strict weighted algorithm. So a passed quiz might only contribute a tiny percentage to the overall readiness score, acting purely as a baseline prerequisite gate.
Just to get you in the door.
Right. The bulk of the weight is placed squarely on real-world evidence.
Okay.
The module systematically requires the prerequisites to be met, the physical photographic evidence to be uploaded, the logbook hours to be successfully achieved, and the formal practical assessment to be completed.
Wow.
Only when all those weighted criteria are fully satisfied will the supervisor even be prompted for a final sign-off.
So it mathematically prevents a user from reaching a ready status without putting in the real-world reps.
Exactly.
You literally cannot fast-track the system just by being really good at taking multiple-choice tests.
And that creates a completely audit-friendly, highly defensible proof of capability.
I can imagine.
Right. If an incident occurs on the floor, or a government auditor just walks into the facility unannounced, the organization isn't frantically scrambling to find some paper sign-in sheet from a safety seminar they held 3 years ago.
Yeah, in some dusty filing cabinet.
Exactly. They have live, digitally tracked history of exactly how that specific employee's competency was built, validated, and actively maintained through compliance recertification.
A manager doesn't have to guess who can safely perform the work anymore.
No guessing involved.
They are looking at a meticulously built, mathematically calculated competency profile.
It changes everything.
We have covered a massive amount of architectural ground today. Let's briefly summarize the core takeaways for you listening.
Good idea.
The Scrix platform really helps organizations move beyond fragmented training records and step into visible operational capability.
Mm-hmm.
It uses skill trees to map what people can do and what they are missing. It uses the skills matrix to connect those individual nodes to real-world roles. Yeah. And it flags exactly where bottlenecks are creating operational risk before the shift even begins. Most importantly, capability isn't something you just guess from an HR job title.
Never.
It is mapped, evidenced, and rigorously validated through multiple weighted modules.
It fundamentally changes the operational conversation from, you know, have they been trained, mm-hmm. to are they actually capable?
Yeah.
And, you know, looking at all this, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Oh, let's hear it.
What if your organization doesn't actually have a talent shortage?
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, what if the exact capability you desperately need for a critical role is already sitting right there in another department?
Oh, I see.
It's completely hidden simply because you are tracking generic job titles instead of actually mapping transferable skills.
Oh, wow. That is a brilliant point. Why complain about a talent shortage when the talent is already on your payroll? You just can't see them.
Exactly. The skills are there. The visibility isn't.
That is a fantastic thought to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. I highly encourage you to look at your own organization's capability, not as a list of static job titles, but as a living map of proven skills. Because the next time you have to sit through a 3-hour training video, you should really be asking yourself, how am I going to prove I can actually do this tomorrow? I'll see you next time.